We are in 2 Corinthians, chapter number 8. We may be there till the rapture. Who knows?
2 Corinthians 8.
I keep studying, he's being good. So I hope you enjoy as much as I am. Good to see everybody here tonight. We forgot to announce the church yesterday, but I'm glad all y'all remembered. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Last week we did verse 9, our example in the grace of giving. Tonight we'll start in verse 10, the expedience of the grace of giving. The expedience. I'm going to start by some definitions of this word, expedient. It's there in verse 10. And herein I give you my advice. For this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. I tell people this is where faith promises in the Bible. They decided to do something for missions a year ago. And then it was a matter of just performing the doing of it, as is mentioned in verse number 11, the very next verse. So, Noah Webster, 1828, says, expedient means suitable or fit for a certain purpose. Paul said, there's a way here we can do this missions that is suitable for the purpose we have of getting the gospel to the regions beyond. Suitable as in fitness. It's something that will fit. It's something that will work. It is something that is suitable for the purpose of raising money to send men to take the gospel to the regions beyond. Now, if you can't see missions, if you can't see faith promise missions in that, you got your mind made up you don't want to see it.
Man.
Expedient also means speed. To do it with haste. To do it with urgency.
Man.
To do it like time is running out.
Man.
The need is great.
Yep.
The time is short.
Yep.
And whatever we're going to do to get the gospel to the regions beyond, we need to do it speedily.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
With expedience. It is the speed to expedite. That's where the word expedience comes from. It is to expedite a need. There is a need that lost sinners around the world are not hearing the gospel.
Man.
They're not hearing a clear presentation of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Man.
And that their sins have been paid in full. And if they'll put their faith in his shed blood and what he did for them on Calvary's cross, they can be born into the family of God, go to heaven when they die, not have to worry about going to hell, Amen. And enjoy the peace of God, the love yep. of God, and the blessings of God until they go to heaven.
Amen.
It is the speed, the urgency to expedite the need. It is the means of promoting something to accomplish a desired goal. What do we do with Faith Promise? We promote missions. We promote Faith Promise as a way to finance missions. If somebody can show me a better way to raise money for missions, I will listen. But you know what? Knuckleheads nowadays, when you try to explain Faith Promise to them, if their mind is already made up most of the time.
Right.
They don't even want to hear it.
Yeah.
Hey, you got a better idea? Tell me all about it. I just want to get the money raised to get the missionaries wherever they need to go and get the gospel preached and sinners can be saved.
Amen.
It's a means of promoting missions and the grace of giving to accomplish a desired goal, which is missionaries going, sinners getting saved.
Yes.
Jesus Christ being proclaimed.
Yes.
I'm still on the dictionary definition. I got that right out of Webster's. The means of promoting to accomplish a desired goal. So I'm not making this stuff up to make it fit. I'm just telling you what the old 1828 says.
Amen.
And listen to this. He says it is practical. Still talking about being expedient. For it to be expedient, it will be practical. Not super spiritual. It'll be practical. Faith promises practical.
Yeah.
Pray, ask God how much He wants you to give to missions every Sunday for the next 52 Sundays in a row. That's what I preach at every Faith Promise Missions Conference that I preach. It's very practical. Anybody can do it. Any age can do it. My wife started when she was 5 years old. Gave 25 cents a week as a five-year-old and went out, picked up bottles, washed them, took them to the store to get the deposit, raised her own money. Her grandparents didn't give her the money. Her parents didn't give her the money. She made her own faith promise, and she learned as a five-year-old girl that God was faithful.
Yes.
So she doubled it the next year, went to 50 cents.
Man.
And guess what? She started finding twice as many bottles. What a coincidence. I always tried to get her, me and her, to go in together on faith promise. She said, no. I said, why not? She said, you don't have enough faith. Well, I didn't start when I was 5 years old either. It takes time for faith to grow. I can't catch up with her. She got the faith. People that get involved with Faith Promise Missions Giving, their faith will grow.
Amen.
When they get that statement at the end of the year, how much they gave to missions, and they think about the faith promise that they made, they just start thinking, glory to God, look what God has
done. Amen. Yeah.
It's practical, and it's proper under the circumstances. It's not a con job.
Right.
It's not a deception.
No.
It's a suitable way to expedite the accomplishment of the goal of getting the gospel to the regions beyond.
Amen.
It is practical, it is proper, it is profitable, it is useful, it is convenient. Just give it every Sunday.
Yeah.
Just like you give your tithe every Sunday, just give a faith promise every Sunday. Over the years, I've always had, you know, a few people that didn't know what I believed about this. So they would come to me and say, yeah, Pastor, I need to get involved on this mission. So I'm going to start taking 10% of my tithe and putting it into missions.
No.
The tithe is the Lord's.
Yeah, right.
Faith promises above the tithe. Right. But some people just don't get it. I mean, some people, I mean, got enough faith to tithe. They can't even tithe. Maybe they believe it's under the law, whatever they believe. But the real fact of the matter is they don't have enough faith to believe that even if it is under the law and you don't have to tithe, guess what? God will bless you for doing it.
Amen. Yeah.
And you'll be better off financially.
Amen.
If you'll give God his
means. That's right.
So then I looked up expedite in Strong's Concordance. It's number 4851 in Strong's. And Strong says, Paul said, this is expedient for you. Expedient in Strong's means unity. Isn't that great? Paul said it is expedient for you. He said, Corinthians, You want to have unity in your church? Get involved in the grace of giving.
Yeah. Yeah.
And start pulling together for a common goal.
Yeah.
I said any age can get involved. Any income level can get involved.
Yeah.
From that little 5-year-old girl making 25 cents a week. I guess she was picking up enough to do a tithe off of those bottles and give missions. I don't know that I've ever asked her that question. I'll let y'all ask her. But it promotes unity. I'm going to believe that the missions program of this church is what holds this church together. Every church has its priority, and my introductory lesson to this class was that missions is our highest priority.
Yeah.
It is the glue that holds our church together, that people of all kinds of different dispositions can unify themselves with each other for a common goal of keeping those 200 plus missionaries and those letters on the wall, on the field, doing something for God.
Amen.
And like-minded churches are helping us get that done. Obviously, we're not supporting them all 100%. Strong said it, that expedient means unity. It means complete. It means to bring together to accomplish a good thing.
Amen.
Paul said this is expedient for you. This deciding a year ago to give something to get the gospel preached to the regions beyond will accomplish a good thing. So to all those people who would say, well, that's not scriptural, it's a man-made doctrine, you know what? It's at least a good thing.
Amen. Amen.
So if you got a conviction against good things, you're a total screwball.
Yeah.
Amen.
Supposed to have convictions against bad things. There's also another number that he gave under that 48:51, and that's 53:42, that gives you a whole different slant on the word. It means to bear, as in to bear up, to bear others. Giving to missions is a way that we bear up the missionaries.
Amen.
And we bear up those lost sinners.
Yeah. Yeah.
Around the world. We are lifting them up on our shoulders, if you will, and on our hearts to get the gospel to them before it's eternally too late.
Amen. Yeah.
It's to bear. It also means to be driven. He said this is expedient for you. We are to be driven to get this done.
That's right.
It means to endure. Endure what? Endure the temptation to spend your money on worldly things.
Yeah.
Endure the temptation of your flesh that'll get you out of church.
Yeah.
And be a hindrance to the mission program. Endure each other when you get aggravated with each other. Say, you know what? I'm not going to have a problem with this person because I don't want to hinder the mission program of the Shady Acres Baptist Church.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can always find somebody that gets on your nerves. But you know what? They may be putting in a mission offering every Sunday just like you're putting in a mission offering every Sunday. And together, if we will endure each other, we will get the job done.
Yes, sir.
It's not about us being pleased anyway.
Right.
It's about getting the job done.
Man.
It means to go on. Well, that's what we got to do in faith promise. We can't ever get satisfied and say, well, we're reaching high enough.
Man.
We got to go on. We got to go on. There's more missionaries that want to go. There's more missionaries that need more help that are already there. We got to go on and go on and go on. We got to teach children how to give a faith promise. We got to have young men giving a faith promise.
We got to have the old men giving a faith promise. We got to have the ladies giving a faith promise. We got to have everybody giving a faith promise.
Amen.
Is everybody kidding?
Amen.
It's practical. It's proper. It means to lead. In other words, it's expedient. Paul said it's expedient. You not only need to endure and be driven, but you need to lead the way. He'll talk more about that later when he talks about provoking others to give. You're to be a leader in this business of giving.
Amen.
The churches that are connected to us in any way whatsoever all know that the Shady Acres Baptist Church is a leader in giving to missions.
Yep.
They all think it's because we got so many rich people in our church. You know, like y'all. That's what they believe. What they don't understand is that we have people that make sacrifices to give what they give to missions. And they're not willing to make those sacrifices, so they'd rather just make excuses for why we can do it and they can't do it.
Yeah.
It means to lead. It means to reach. To reach a little further. Drive the stakes a little deeper. Lengthen the cords. It means to reach. It means to rush. There's that speediness again, that urgency. And so together, those two sources give us, I believe, a great definition for that word, expedient. And faith, promise, missions, giving will do all those things that are in that definition. Now let's read verse 10 again. We got the definition for expedient. And herein I give my advice. We're going to look at Paul's advice. Man. What is his advice? This is expedient, Corinth, for you. It'll help you.
Yeah.
If you give a faith promise mission offering.
Amen.
Yes, it'll help the missionaries. Yes, it'll help sinners to get saved. But you know what? It'll help you. It'll help me to give a faith promise mission offering.
Yeah.
He said this is expedient for you, or in other words, Paul is saying this grace of giving to get the gospel to the regions beyond will help you to grow by pushing you forward and deeper in your Christian life, and you'll start seeing things like you've never seen them before because you're involved in getting the gospel to somebody else at your own personal cost.
Praise the Lord.
For where your treasure is that where your heart be also.
Yeah.
Your heart might not be in it when you first start doing a faith promise, but over the years, your heart will be in it.
Amen.
And it'll get so important you'll start giving stuff up because you want to give up stuff. Just so you can do more.
Yes.
For missions.
Yes.
At first, you're just kind of grinding it out. Grinding it out. Grinding it out. You're learning how to do it every week. You're grinding it out. But you can get to the point where it's, man, how can I do more? And pushing you. It'll help you to grow. It's expedient for you. It'll help you to grow by pushing you forward and deeper. You get a whole church to pushing and going deeper and getting excited about missions. And the next thing you know, you'll have a mission program. It's unbelievable.
Man.
Paul's advice, it's expedient for you. Why is it expedient, Paul? Because your faith is going to grow year by year. Go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 1. I always tell them this is my Old Testament example of where faith promise is.
This is a story of Hannah. She's wanting to have a boy baby, a man child. Verse 11, you know the story. She's praying and they thought she was drunk.
Yeah.
Because they'd never seen anybody pray in the Holy Ghost before. That same thing they thought on the day of Pentecost. They thought they were drunk. Verse 11 says, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11, she bowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man child. Lord, don't forget me. If you give me a man child,
yeah,
then I will give him unto the Lord. That's faith promise. You give to me, I'll give to you. That's how it works. All the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And verse 13 said, Eli thought she had been drunk. Most people think you're drunk or crazy if you're giving as much as you can to missions. They really do. They think that is just insane. You say, how do you know? I got family that accuse me of being crazy.
Good crazy.
Look at chapter 1, verse 20. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. They go yearly. Verse 22. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned. And then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. She said, I'm not going this year, because I'm going to wait till it's time to wean this boy. And when it's time to wean this boy, I'm going to go ahead and go up there to the house of God, but I'm going to leave him. Yeah. I always thought that was great faith. That she had enough faith to leave her treasured son with the most backslidden preacher in the Old Testament. Yeah. And that God would use that old backslider to guide her precious son to serve the Lord. Her faith was greater than a backslidden preacher. She wasn't gathering everybody together voting Eli out. She's trusting God to use him in spite of his wickedness. No, that's about beyond my comprehension, okay? What about it, mamas? Would you like to leave your baby with a sorry, no good preacher to raise him for God? I know women who won't even put a baby in the nursery, amen, for 1 hour. With women that love God. And they sure won't leave with a man for 1 hour.
Yeah.
Even if she's married to the guy. Because he never pays any attention to them. He's doing whatever it is he's doing. He figures, yeah, they'll be fine. Right, guys? Be all right. You know, that mama love her home every second. Verse 22, she said, when he gets weaned, I'm going to take him up there, and I'm going to leave him with Eli, where he can live right there in the house of God. Chapter 2, verse 18. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year.
Yeah.
Now they go there every year. Once a year, they go see this little boy.
Yeah.
When they go to the house of God. What about it, Mom? How would you be? You get to go see your baby once a year. You know, Dr. Gene Burris and his wife, when they were missionaries to India, they'd put their kids on a train, and it would go 1,100 miles for them to go to school. They would leave in August, and they'd come back in June. They'd have them for about 2 months. They had, I think it's 10 kids, and they'd do that every year, put them on a train, send them to school. Be gone 10 months. All ages. I'm saying that's pretty great faith right there.
Yeah, that's true.
In a Hindu country.
Yeah.
Think that'd be a challenge?
Yes.
Oh, and by the way, they're all serving the Lord.
Amen. Yeah.
Brought it to him from year to year. She makes this little coat and she takes it to him, and a year later she makes another little coat and she takes it to him. But here's how this is a picture of faith promise. She makes him a bigger coat every year.
Yeah.
She don't take the same size every year. It's got to be a little bigger. If we're going to get the job done, it's got to be a little bigger. Now, I never have preached, you know, that you ought to raise your faith promise every year. I think it's a good idea, but I think some years there's just some circumstances where, unless you've got some real supernatural faith, it might not work for you. So I preach, you pray, ask God what He wants you to do, ask Him to show you what He wants you to do, and be obedient to do what He's leading you to do. If that's more, praise the Lord. If it's the same, praise the Lord. If it's less, praise the Lord. God knows what you need to do better than you do. Amen. If you'll pray and ask Him, He'll lead you and guide you. And I want to say 90% of the time, it's going to be an increase.
Uh-huh.
But there may be an occasional year where your circumstances totally change.
Yeah.
That happened to me when I went to East River. 1981, Brother Jack said, go out there and preach till the dust settles, and then we'll put somebody from the Bible Institute out there. Well, 15 years later, I came back, and I was still not sure the dust was settled. But it was out of debt, and had 159 people in Sunday school the last Sunday I was there. Good, solid missions program. But when I went out there, he said, we're going to help you for 1 year, and then after 1 year, church will grow enough, they can take care of it. He had great faith. But after 1 year, the church, best I remember, had not grown at all. But we just went ahead and did without. You know, if you don't have any money, you figure out how to live without it. Huh?
Yeah,
or you figure out a way to make some extra money. I tried both. But that time I couldn't figure out a way to make extra money, so I just kept cutting expenses. We lived in a Sunday school building of the church for 14 years and 9 months. Kind of like what Phil Dunn's done out there at Lighthouse. Lived in the church Sunday school building. Breaker box was outside, so, you know, trip the breaker, you had to go outside and around the house, trip the breaker. When I left, that was the thing the pastor complained about the most. I said, has this thing been outside all these years? Yeah. All you got to do is go out there and flip it.
He said, well, every time we turn on the microwave, it trips a breaker. I said, that's because you got something else on, too. If you're going to use a microwave, turn everything else off. He said, is that the way y'all been doing it? I said, that's what you've been doing. He said, I want to get an electrician to look at it. I said, okay. That'd be fine, too. That's another way to solve the problem, but it's not that difficult. If you're going to use a microwave, just turn off your blender and whatever else you got running, the coffee pot. Throw that coffee pot in the trash. Don't even need that. His mother made him a little coat, brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. So anyway, after that first year, and I had zero coming in, my faith promised him to die. But I've worked it back up by the grace of God. I'm saying most of the time you can increase it. There might be a situation where it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Don't beat yourself up if it's not going to happen.
Amen.
Might not be your fault.
Amen.
So her faith promise got bigger every year.
Amen.
I don't know how many years. I don't know when he quit growing. But if you'll pray like Hannah did, God will show you what he can do and what he wants you to do. Somehow, when she was praying, asking God for the man child, God laid it on her heart to give that boy to God and to do it over where Eli was pastor. Oh, but God to be in that. That's our problem. We think we know what God's will is for everybody and everything and every situation.
Yeah.
Most times, that's like people, you know, calling other people to preach. Ain't none of your business who gets called to preach.
That's right.
Ain't none of your business. Leave people alone. Let God do that. That's God's business.
Yeah.
Mama, don't tell your son you believe he's called to preach. Let God do that.
Amen.
Don't tell somebody you believe they're called to mission field. That's you can believe it all you want to, but just keep your mouth shut.
Yeah. Amen.
Yes, sir.
That comes under the category of none of your business.
Yeah.
She prayed, she found out what God wanted her to do, and she did it and went to see that boy once a year. That's some heroic faith right there. Verse 11. I gotta hurry, I'm probably about out of time. Oh no, we got a little more time. I'm back in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 11. But let me read verse 10. I'm not sure I ever finished it. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. So here was his advice. This will help you. This is expedient for you. Your faith will grow. It'll help you. It'll help your family. It'll help your church. If you'll get involved on the grace of giving, with the gospel, with the reasons beyond. Verse 11 is Paul's admonition. He gives them advice in verse 10. This will help you. Verse 11, now therefore perform the doing of it. Okay, you said a year ago what you were going to do. Now do it.
Man.
That as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have.
Amen.
Perform the doing of it. Being willing is a great start.
Amen.
To a faith promise. But you will face many obstacles during the next 52 weeks of giving that faith promise, performing the doing of it. You're going to face many obstacles.
Obstacles like your own flesh that wants a new purse, a new pair of shoes, or guys, a new knife, a new flashlight, a new gun, a new car.
No.
A new whatever. I see a ladder back there, a new ladder. You can always think of something to buy. And if you'll let your flesh, you'll just keep buying, keep buying, keep buying, keep buying. You'll be doing what I've been doing the last 2-3 weeks, going through all that stuff. Trying to figure out, what do I really need?
Yeah.
I've been hauling stuff in my shop for 2 weeks. Boxing it up, hauling it for myself. I'm talking about treasures, things that people have given me over the last 50 years that I stuck in a drawer. I said, man, that's a blessing. That's precious. And I never even took it out of the box. Pocket knives that I never even took back out of the box. So I opened them up and looked at the pocket knives, and they had this green mold growing on them. When I went to rubbing it off, it's taking the finish off of the knife. It's the end of the metal. Because it's laid in that drawer for so long. It is vintage. Some of those knives were $250. Because I've been looking them up. I sold one baseball card today for $250. Ka-ching. That's a good day. And the guy bought 3 other ball cards to go with that $250. The total was $529.
Crazy.
Plus tax, $572. I'm getting rid of some stuff. But your flesh thinks you need all this stuff.
Yeah, right, flesh.
You think your family needs all this stuff. I'm talking about obstacles to performing the doing of it. Guy came to me after I preached one night at the missions conference. He said, well, you know, the Bible said if a man doesn't provide for his own, he's worse than an infidel. So I'll take care of my family first. I said, do you ever have any left over for missions? He never even responded. Because the answer was no. He wasn't giving to missions. He was explaining to me why he was not going to give to missions.
Right.
He's going to take care of his family. I have an idea his definition of taking care of his family was 4-wheeler for the boy, Barbie car for the girl. Or maybe 30-06 for the boy and a 243 for the girl. You can always spend more money on your family. And if you're not careful, your flesh and your family will hinder you from giving your faith promise.
Yeah.
I'm not saying don't take care of your family. But I'm saying don't use them for an excuse. Don't start telling your kids, oh, well, the reason that we can't, you know, buy the 4-wheeler is because we've got to give our missions money every week. That'll put bitterness in the hearts of your kids.
Yeah. Right.
Well, we can't have what other kids have because we've got to give missions. That's the wrong approach, Dad.
Yes, sir.
You need to go from this approach. Look, the reason we got what we got is because we're involved in the Lord's business.
Right.
God blesses us for that.
That's yeah. Right.
Since He blesses us, we got more than we deserve. Amen. And if you see something, you, amen, by the grace of God, we'll try to get it for you because God's going to bless us because we're giving the missions.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
The approach.
Yes, sir.
It's true, too.
What kind of obstacles are you going to face to giving this faith promise every week? Performing the doing of it? Your own failure. I don't have time to tell you the agony I went through the first Sunday. I didn't have that $75 a week that I was given faith promise in 1981. Grade 2. It was 82 when I could be. I gave it the whole year in 81. Because Shady Acres was still supporting.
But in 82, when I was on my own, I'll never forget that first Sunday that I went to church and I did not have my $75 faith promise. Discouraged. And I'd like to be one of those preachers that said, God's always given me what I had. And I went that Sunday and I didn't have it. I went another Sunday and I didn't have it. We were having a rough time. My little boy was in the first or second grade, David. And the teacher told him they had to have, I think it was 50 cents or a dollar for something for a field trip. Marcia can tell you exactly how much it was. And I didn't have it. And she didn't have it. We sent him to school. And when he told his teacher he didn't have it, she chewed him out. Everybody's got 50 cents or a dollar or whatever it was. He said, well, my mom and dad said they didn't have it. He came home and said, I got in trouble because I didn't have that money. My wife went down there and paid that teacher a visit. And the teacher said, well, everybody's got a dollar. I said, we didn't. He said, maybe you've always got a dollar, but we don't always have a dollar. We were doing without. We were 7 years without buying any chicken or any beef. I killed deer and caught fish out of the East River, right past the East River Baptist Church. Put that meat in the freezer, and that's what we lived on, because we didn't have money to buy that kind of groceries for 7 years. Your failure. You have to overcome your failure. When things don't work out the way you think they should work out, you still trust God, yeah, and you do what you believe God wants you to do, yeah, and you make whatever sacrifices you got to make to trust Him and be faithful, mm, and perform the doing of it.
Amen.
It's hard preaching. It's even harder living. That's what will make faith promise work.
Just do it.
You got to have the faith to believe God. And you got to make a promise that you'll do what you believe He wants you to do. And then you got to keep your promise. And it'll work. They'd tell Brother Wood, I tried that faith promise, it didn't work. He said, I know it. He said, what do you mean you know it? He said, I knew it wouldn't work for you. How'd you know? You don't have any faith, cowboy. He said, it never will work for you. You got to overcome your own failures. And your own faithlessness. When you really believed in your heart, you had all this faith. When it came down putting that money in the offering every Sunday for a whole year, and then do it again the next year and try to increase it a little bit, you got to face your own unbelief and overcome it. That's Paul's admonition. Perform the doing of it. Verse 12, Paul's acceptance of their giving. Paul was not one of these guys that believed he knew what everybody should do. Listen to how he accepted what they did and what they didn't do. For if there be first a willing mind, you got to have that, you got to be willing. It is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not.
First, you got to have a willing mind. Second, you got to give according to what you have. You can't expect that 5-year-old girl to make $100 a week faith promise.
Right.
You got to give according to what you have. Third, don't try to do what you can't do.
Thank you.
At least not until your faith has had time to grow. If you're one of those people that likes to do everything in a great big way, and you're going to just jump out there and you're going to give a whole bunch of money to missions first year right out of the chute,
yeah.
Right out of the gate. That's your pride at work. Mm. That's not God at work. That's your pride. That's your ego at work. You want to prove to everybody how spiritual you are. You want to prove how spiritual you are. Start small. Increase it. Keep increasing it. Be faithful and watch your faith grow. And you can trust God instead of just doing it with your own zeal and effort. He accepted their giving according to what they had, not according to what they don't have. And yet he put the balance on that verse in the previous verse, verse 3. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. He said, you can do more than you think you can, if you're willing. Because God will get in it and God will start blessing it and he'll let you do more than you ever thought that you could. But don't think that you can just make up your mind and be stubborn and do it on your own. That won't work. You've got to get God in it.
Yeah.
Just like you got to get God in your witnessing, you got to get God in your mothering, you got to get God in your Sunday school lesson, you got to get God in your preaching, you got to get God in your business, on your job, in your children, you got to get God in it. Nobody is smart enough or spiritual enough to do the things that we're doing without God.
Yeah.
Nobody. It's too complicated. We are living in such a crazy world now. And if you don't have God to lead you and guide you, you're yep. going to continually be saying, what in the world am I going to do?
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you just pray and trust God, he'll lead you step by step, day by day. He'll figure it all out for you if you'll just submit to it and obey him and follow him.
Man,
and trust him.
Man, sir.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy
man.
Paths.
Man.
That's Paul's advice. This will help you. Paul's admonition, perform the doing of it.
Do it.
Paul's acceptance, do according to what you have. And don't worry about what you don't have.
Yeah.
You make a promise and you don't have it, don't quit and say it doesn't work.
Right.
Make another faith promise the next year and get right back in there.
Yeah.
You'll learn something from your failures.
Yes, sir.
It'll be good for you too. I mean, you could just pick a number and God would just be so faithful to give it to you every Sunday, every year. You could just start picking out all these amazing numbers and be feeling real good about yourself. So God will let you crash and burn every once in a while just so that you'll remember, hey, if the Lord doesn't get in this, you're in a mess.
Yeah.
Any questions about that class? The expedience of giving. All right, Father, we thank you for these folks who came.
Thank you, Father.
To class tonight. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the Apostle Paul just lining it out for us there in the Scriptures, verse after verse
thank
after
you,
verse. And Father, I pray
that you'd bless Shady Acres for our missions giving.
Oh, God.
And I pray, Heavenly Father, you'd bless these homes. The devil would like to destroy homes so that all the faith promise goes to child support. And I pray against the devil. I pray against the home wreckers and breakers. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would give joy and peace and grace.
Yes. And
Father, blessings so that we can continue to get the gospel to the regions beyond. We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
I got a supporting
pastor, and
the pastor 1 year, he said, what should I give him? And the Lord said, nothing. So he didn't. And the next year he picked it up like that. But he prayed and prayed about it. I think he could be also. And the Lord said, don't give anything. It's his strength, you know, but he just follows it. And the next year picked it up again. Yeah. Mikey, just do it, right?
Just do it.
Just do it.
This is yours.
Oh, thanks for the Eubanks.
Tom reminded me that next week is probably Brother Dunn's meeting at Lighthouse. Does anybody know that for sure?